Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
It's Film Festival Radio, the show where superstars and future stars happily coexist together. And now, here's your host, Janice Malone.
Everybody, welcome to Film Festival Radio Show with me, Janice Malone, here. And yes, we are that show. We are that show where future stars and superstars really do coexist together. It's just that simple. You know, we may have an actor, an actress, or a filmmaker. Maybe it's their first time movie or their second movie. And right after them, we may have, maybe Tom Cruise or someone on, because that's how we roll around here. And we are just so happy that you guys are listening to us. You can always reach us, filmfestivalradio@gmail.com, or you can go to our website, filmfestivalradio.com, and drop us a line. Let us know what you think, any comments, any questions, anything. We'll talk to you. That's how we do. We will talk to you. But right now, we have guests who want to talk to you and me. And I will start telling you about the guest for this segment. She is, her name is Ifran Dor. And she is one of the most popular actresses in Israel. Yes, she lives in Israel. And she will be calling us from Israel in just a couple of more minutes here to talk about a brand new movie that she is starring in alongside American actress, we all know, Jessica Chastain, and also Daniel Brühl. They are starring in this new film, The Zookeeper's Wife, and it will be premiering here in America next month, select cities in New York and Los Angeles. I don't have the complete list of the rest of the cities, but I will be getting that shortly, and I will share them. Those cities, maybe it's the city where you live. But I'll tell you quickly that The Zookeeper's Wife is based on an actual true story. It tells the story of keepers of the Warsaw Zoo, Antonina and Jan Zabinski, and their work. It was almost like a ministry of sorts that helped save hundreds of people, Jewish people and animals, during the German invasion into Poland in 1939. So this film and the script was actually based on a nonfiction best-selling book written by poet and naturalist Diane Ackerman. Well, now it is a full-length motion picture. It was shot in Prague, but it will be making a world premiere, as I said earlier, in New York and Los Angeles and other parts of the world as well. So our featured guest for this segment, Ifrat, will be calling us. She is one of the lead characters, an actual lady of this film, again, based on a totally true story. You may go to Amazon to get the book, The Zookeeper's Wife, and it tells the entire true story. So we are going to get her on the line. Ifran will be chatting with us to give us more details, more behind-the-scenes information about the film. It's just, from what I've seen, it is just a heart-wrenching, but heroic, but still sad in many ways film. But it is a must-see film that will relate to the human heart, no matter what race or ethnicity that you come from. This is a movie about the true human spirit of helping and loving people of all races and colors. So we have her, Ifran, on the line. So let's talk to her and bring her on right now.
Well, good afternoon, Ifrat. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am just fine, as always, running with everything in my hand. You're just running. think I need roller skates sometimes, but the main thing, I'm trying to get in the chair, trying to get my headphones on, trying to get the microphone. It's just so crazy. But the main thing is that I have you and we are talking. Yes. Well, yeah. I am very excited about The Zookeeper's Wife, the new film that you are one of the stars in, along with actress Jessica Chastain. Very, I mean, from everything I've read about this film and the book and what have you, it is just an amazing piece of work here. I'll quickly say The Zookeeper's Wife tells the story of about the Warsaw Zoo with Antonina and Jan Zabinski, who helped save hundreds of people and animals, Jewish people, during the German invasion of into Poland in 1939. Fascinating, sad, but also a victorious story as well. So how did you first become aware of this project, or had you already read the book that it was based on?
No, I hadn't read the book, and I actually didn't even know about the story. I mean, this is a true story, and I didn't even know about it. I mean, there are so many amazing stories about World War II and, you know, local heroes helping Jews. But this is a big story, and I had no knowledge of it at all. And so I just got an audition for this part, and I read the script, and I just burst it into tears. It was so beautiful, and it touched me in so many ways. And also I went over to do the audition, and I did, like, a second audition in front of Nikki Caro, which is the most amazing director, and I had to do two scenes, and the first scene was like a happy scene, and the second scene is a very emotional, dramatic scene, and I had 3 seconds in between the scenes, and just the second scene, I bursted into tears, and after I finished my audition, Nikki said, "This was pretty amazing, you bursting into tears like that, having this arc of emotions, and very quickly. It's very hard for an actress." And I said, "Thank you." And later on set, I told her how emotional I was, you know, reading the script. And every time I read the script after, even on the plane, flying to Prague to film this, I went on crying every time I read it. It was just so beautiful.
Well, the film has that type of emotional value to it. It can, as I said a minute ago, it can make you sad, but it can, you know, also have you to cheer on the triumphs that Mr. and Mrs. Zabinski did in saving so many people and the animals. So, you know, it's like victorious in that way, but it's sad overall. But it's also a very beautiful story. I think one of the aspects that I found so interesting and touching is how they would, these code names, they would give the human beings that they were saving animal names, and then give the animals human names just to throw off, you know, the enemy, so they wouldn't know really what was going on, and they were saving extra food to feed both the people and the animals. And reading that, I just wanted to cry just off of that much. So I can only imagine,
I think,
as an actor.
Yeah. I think the whole involvement of animals in the story makes it very, very different. As, I mean, there are a lot of movies about this time, and but what makes this story so unique and so beautiful is that it doesn't, I mean, it kind of portrays the animals, and there's a very beautiful line of comparing the animals to the humans. And I mean, I think the hardest scene in the movie, there is like a very dramatic scene where the Germans, I don't want to ruin the movie for people, but there's just a lot of animals being hurt in this movie. Not really, obviously, but just in the story. And just the whole comparison of humans and animals, and it's just very emotional and very special in that way. It's different.
Exactly. And, you know, I obviously don't know the entire whole film collections and such on the topics of World War II and the Jewish storylines that may contain in these movies. But to my knowledge, and you may correct me if you know the answer, I don't think there have been very many films about that whole awful point in history where animals are brought into the fold as far as being a part of the storyline, I don't think.
Not at all. Not at all. This is a very, that's what makes the story very unique and different. And just the whole comparison of empathy and emotion, and it makes the, it's just, and also not only the animals, but the thing about this book being written by a woman and then adapted to a screenplay by a woman and then directed yes. by a woman and then starred in by Jessica, which is just so amazing. She's amazing in this. And it makes the whole movie in a very feminine point of view. And it's just, I mean, the story is very dramatic and very sad, but it's the way of looking at it is very soft and beautiful. So, and I think you do, it is sad, but you are right. At the end, there's a lot of uplifting. I mean, you feel uplifted because it is a story of triumph and the human spirit triumphing, you know, and that's what makes this story, I think, different, and it stands out in that way.
Absolutely, yes. It's the triumphant victory of the human spirit when the human spirit wants to be at its best. I think these type of movies display it brilliantly when it's done right. Okay, let's talk about your role. I understand your character is Magdalena Gross. Who mm-hmm. is she? And just tell us a little bit about her.
Okay, well, Magdalena is, she was an actual person, also like Antonina and John, and she was a very famous Polish sculptress. And as the war broke, obviously she couldn't continue with her art, and her very good friend Antonina and John, they were very good friends, they hid her in their house, and she was actually the first person that they helped. And that kind of opened the door to them understanding how Jews are treated and what is going on with Jews in Poland, and deciding to help more and more. So she kind of goes through this whole story with Antonina and being her best friend in the movie of Jessica. And she has her own plot line. She has her boyfriend being taken away by the Germans and Jean and Antonina helping her to get in touch with him inside the ghetto, and I won't tell you the end. You'll have to see it, but it's just—it's very beautiful.
Now, I understand that the Zabinskis had two children, I believe. During the filming, did any of you get to meet any of their family members, who are left, or what?
Yes. Actually, the granddaughter of Antonina, and she's pretty, I think she's around like 60 or 70 now, and she came on set, and there's actually a scene where she participates as one of the guests in the background, and it was so emotional for us. I actually remember Jessica breaking down and crying in this scene and holding her, and we had to stop filming because it was just very emotional. Having her on set, it was so beautiful, and I think she felt, you know, her family story being told in this way. I think they were honored. She felt.
Oh, sure. Oh, wow, my yeah. goodness. I don't think I could have. I know yeah. there wasn't a dry eye on the set. Probably even the caterers are probably just in tears.
Yeah,
oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
So gorgeous.
She was very nice. She hardly spoke any English, so it was hard to communicate uh-huh. with her, but she, it was just think of the situation of her, mm-hmm. you know, being a guest in the house of her grandma. It was very yeah. emotional. Everything
very
is emotional
much.
About this movie.
Well, I think it's more than worth it to see it. So, now has it already, there will be a screening in New York and in Los Angeles at select theaters next month. But what about, mm-hmm. Has it already premiered in Israel or Germany or Poland? Or
no. No, I think it's going to premiere first in the States. But I know that Israel has already purchased to screen it in Israel. And I think it's going to be in theaters probably a month after.
Okay. Well, who knows? I mean, this may be nominated for an Oscar next year in the foreign film, one of the foreign film categories, because the storyline is so, so worthy of such an honor. Plus,
yeah,
of course,
and the cast is so amazing. You know, it was such an international cast, and everybody really connected to the story, and it was really beautiful. I mean, Jessica and Daniel and Johan and just Ido and everybody, all of the actors were just really into the story, and it was really beautiful ensemble work.
Well, to further speak of actors and actresses, I've read so much about you. I understand that you are one of the best known actresses in all of Israel. Now, that is a top honor right here.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm very lucky to do what I do, and I love doing it. And Israel is a small place, but it's so full of talent, and there's such great writers and such great material. The industry is small, but it's very talented. And I think now in these last couple of years, it's starting, there are so many shows and movies that are being brought worldwide, like sold, and I think people are starting to realize there's a lot of talent in this small little industry.
Yes. Now, do you do a lot of work in Hollywood, in America, or New York, or what?
Well, this is actually my first film that I've done in Hollywood, I mean, in the States. And hopefully, you know, open the door for me to kind of see my way here. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'm very excited.
Well, will you be appearing at the New York and L.A. screenings, or do you know your schedule yet for that?
Yes, I will definitely be appearing in the premiere.
Oh,
very
exciting.
I love this movie so much.
Oh, I don't blame you. I really don't blame you. Well, okay. So tell me, next project for you, will it be film or stage or television or what?
Well, I can't, there's some stuff that I can't talk about, but there's another Israeli film that's coming out for me and another show on Netflix that's coming out, but I can't really talk about it, I think, so I don't want to get in trouble.
Okay, I know what that's like.
I can't say.
Well, you're working with Netflix.
Many, many good things, and yeah, many, many good things, and I'm very excited to start, you know, seeing a lot of projects here. There's so many, it's just the industry is so much bigger here, and there's so many more beautiful characters and beautiful stories to tell, and I really consider myself as a storyteller. I'm really old school in that way. I really connect to the story, and hopefully I'm going to find a lot of amazing, beautiful stories to be a part of. So,
oh, I guarantee you that you will. There's so many wonderful stories out here. You're right. It's just so many, so many. Well, my last question here is, even though the zookeeper's wife is, you know, a Jewish-based, rooted type of a story, will anyone from any other culture or ethnicity, will they be able to relate to this film or what?
Oh, for sure. Because, I mean, like I said before, it is a World War story about the Holocaust, but it just really focuses a lot more about the human spirit and just how when we get in, when we're, you know, in the corner and we need to decide whether we will overcome this or we will be small or big, and just how Antonina decides to be, to get all of her courage and to do this thing that is just so dangerous and to risk her life to help so many people. It's just a story about being bigger than yourself. And I think anybody can connect with that.
Definitely so. And you're right, it was extremely dangerous times for the work that they were doing. And it was you know, in some people's eyes, it could be described as a ministry of sorts of saving mm-hmm. the lives of so many innocent people like that. And mm-hmm. I just love it when these type of real life stories are brought to the attention, exactly. the big screen of the entire world. It's just, hopefully we exactly. can learn from this.
Yeah, that this happened, you know, it's not just, yeah. It's not just somebody written this thing. This no. really happened. These were real people that risked their lives years and years to help, you know, other people. And I think
yes.
in this modern world where I think things are moving towards everybody kind of looking out for themselves and a mm-hmm. lot less of a community. And I mean, that's how just the way I see it. I think there's also a lot of people that kind of want to go back to where there's a lot of spirit, like the values of community and the values of doing mm-hmm. for others. And so this is, it talks about that, about how you put other people in front, like before yourself. And
so we're not so, well, there's so many, like you said a minute ago, there's so many people nowadays, it's still so selfish and it's all about them and what they're doing. And but there's always good to know that there are good people out here who still have the old-fashioned yeah. core values about human life and the human spirit, and hopefully that will never go away. I really hope it doesn't.
It will. I don't think it can. I think because inside of us we have those things and we can't ignore them. It's just people always at the end will aspire for meaning and for something deeper and more profound than just, you know, the day-to-day life. And yeah. I think the story will remind people of something deeper and the connection that we're all actually one, and how in the story and in that time, somebody wanted to separate and say that some people were not the same or not as good or worse or shouldn't even be alive. Mm-hmm. And that it doesn't even matter. There are always groups. And today, sadly, this is so relevant that there are so many groups today that are in risk and are mm-hmm. don't get a chance of normal life. And I'm so sorry.
That's your dog, obviously.
Yeah, it's my friend's dog. I think it's really relevant. The story is so relevant in a way that other groups are always in danger of dying. I don't even need to tell you in so many places in the world. That is so sad. Yes. So
mm-hmm.
so I think the human spirit should always remember to be courage, to have courage and to help people that are not, they weren't born in where you were born and don't have the same human basic rights that you might have. Mm-hmm. So
let us never forget. Let us never forget. Well,
yeah.
Ms. Dore, thank you again for
thank you.
Your
talent. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I just so enjoyed our conversation, and this
too.
Movie is it's just so powerful, but yet so riveting, but yet so personable all at the same time. So thank you, guys, all
yeah.
of you actors and actresses and the filmmakers who brought it to us. We'll look forward to
thank
seeing
you.
It.
Go watch the 31st, March 31st.
Yes.
Go watch it. It's a beautiful film.
I will watch it. Get my box of Kleenex, and I'll be right there. Okay.
Yeah, do that, yeah.
Okay,
right,
well,
thank you
again.
So much.
Okay, look forward to chatting with you on the next project. Okay.
Yeah, hopefully. Bye, thank you.
Okay. All right, bye-bye.
And we will be back with more of Film Festival Radio right after this. And want to say thank you to Efrat Dore from The Zookeeper's Wife. It is a very moving film. I suggest that you see it when it comes to America. As we were saying, it will be out next month, end of next month, and you can go to their website to get the exact cities and location. So we'll be back right after this.
Hey, I'm Sherry Shepherd, and you're listening to Film Festival Radio with Janice Malone.
It's Film Festival Radio, the show where superstars and future stars happily coexist together. And now, here's your host, Janice Malone.
Back here with more with Film Festival Radio Show here with me, Janice Malone. That's me. Okay, let's talk about our guest who will be calling in shortly here, Jasmine Guy. Jasmine doesn't really need that much of an introduction. She is a household name. She's an actress, a singer, dancer, director. And I think because she has made such a strong name for herself as an actress, some of her younger fans probably don't know that she is very gifted as a singer and a dancer. She's just a multidimensional talent here. And, of course, the whole world got to know her from her role as Whitley on the Cosby Show spinoff, A Different World, which she won 4 consecutive NAACP Image Awards for Outstanding Lead Actress in a Comedy Series for that role. Very funny role. But today, she has been doing a lot of work behind the scenes as a director, as a producer, releasing music. So she's been very, very busy, as well as doing acting on stage, film, and in television. One of the projects that she's been doing for the last several years is what she's about to do in a few more days here. She's starring in Raising Kane, A Harlem Renaissance Odyssey. Yeah, it's very, very good. I have seen it before, and I highly suggest that you run out and go see it when it comes to your city. Along with Jasmine, she is joined by the highly acclaimed Avery Sharp Trio Band. Raising Kane is a short name. It celebrates and honors the legendary voices of the Harlem Renaissance period through song, through text, music, dance, and imagery. So she's been doing this show for quite some time, and I'll get into more details with her about how the show got started. So again, you can go look at her website, I believe it's jasmineguy.com, and check to see when the show will be coming to your city. But meanwhile, you can also catch Jasmine as one of the stars of the new drama series on the BET television network. The new show is a drama series called The Quad, Q-U-A-D. You may have already seen it. It premiered late January, so I don't know, you may have already seen it. But if you have not, go check it out. Go to the BET network to see when it airs in your city so that I won't give you bad information like I'm known to do sometimes. You know, these time zones and things, it just get me all confused. I never have been good at math. No, I never. Just not one of my subjects. I'm sorry. I'll try to do better next time. But anyway, I see that we have Jasmine here on cue, and so let's bring her up right now. Hello.
Hello, it's Janice.
Hi, this is Jasmine Guy.
Good afternoon, Jasmine. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm just fine. I'm just was waiting on your call here, and here you are. It's been a while. Excuse me, it's been a while since I last talked to you. But as always, you have such wonderful projects that you are working on, including the one we're about to talk about here. So you are starring in the 1920s Harlem, ode to 1920s Harlem in Raising Kane, A Harlem Renaissance Odyssey, in a few days. They're in Nashville. So the main question I wanted to ask you about that, is this an ongoing production that you will be taking on tour, or is it just a one-time, one-night-only event for Nashville?
Well, we have toured this show for about 12 years. We go everywhere because I feel this show is important, and a lot of universities have brought us in, but everywhere we go, people go, okay, I get it. It's a wonderful decade of our history, and it brings in all of the artistic and political implications of our country in this one decade.
I see. Now, I understand that you are a huge fan of Cain, Jean Toomer's collection of short stories and poems and narratives that inspired the playwright Harry Clark to create this show. When you first read Cain, what were your initial thoughts about the book itself?
Well, initially I felt like it was too scholastic, that it had very limiting dialogue, in that it was kind of like a brilliant lecture. And what I've done over the years is try to break that down and make sure people understand what I'm talking about, and break that fourth wall. So it has the improv feeling of a jazz concert.
Now, after initially reading it and having time to digest what it was all about, did you instinctively know that maybe one day that you would help bring this production to life, or did that happen later?
That happened during the journey, but I was aware of the Harlem Renaissance. So first we have to start with that decade after World War I and before the Great Depression to understand. This was a compelling decade, and one that suffered all the American political implications of failure. But it succeeded, and the artists succeeded throughout that, whether it be painter or poet or writer or singer or music. That decade defined the next 100 years of our society.
Now, the Harlem Renaissance, of course, was known for so many wonderful elements, from the music to the fashion to their artwork to the architecture and such. So is there any particular favorite element or aspect of that time, of that area, that you especially personally love and enjoy?
I love the artwork. And the paintings that we show during the show is crucial. I also love the poems that came out of that time from County Cullen, Claude McKay, Langston Hughes, who was very young during the Renaissance. And also the teachings of W.B. Du Bois, Booker T. Washington, and Marcus Garvey.
Yes, definitely. So, there, like I said, there are so many different elements about that era that still resonates throughout not only Black history, but really American history as a whole, that is just so beautiful. But I'm with you that the artwork was just fabulous. I wish I could afford some of it, but it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Just gorgeous. Just so gorgeous. Well, in breaking down and getting into the play and the musical itself, what was the most challenging aspect of it? Was it the music, the singing, the dancing, or what for you?
I would think that I didn't want the artist from that time to be ignored. So I was resistant in the beginning to sing or dance too much, and that we forget what we're talking about. But we've added a lot of music and dance, and we have revered that time frame in an original way. But that might have been my first resistance, was that we just didn't make it a musical that everybody could relate to, that you actually listen to the text and you listen to the history and know where we came from 100 years ago. And what has been the most enlightening to me is how relevant that time frame is for us now.
Yes, absolutely. Are you finding when you guys perform it on campus, are you finding that students after the show come up to you? Because it sounds like it's not only entertaining, but it's very informative. So what type of feedback have you received over the years from some of the students on campus?
I've had profound feedback from young people, and when they come with their parents and grandparents, I've learned so much from them. You know, they have parents that lived through the Harlem Renaissance and contributed. They also have stories that, you know, I can't put into this show in 90 minutes, but it reaffirms my belief that we are all interwoven, even though this happened in Harlem. There were white people involved, there were rich people involved, there were poor people involved. And it really tells the microcosm, the American story.
Well, I have a couple of last questions here, and these are two questions are especially from some of your fans. They would like to know, would like for you to comment about your role on the new show on BET, The Quad.
Yes, I'm on my third fictitious HBCU show, and I have no degree, but here we go. So, you know, with school days, I graduated from Mission. With A Different World, I graduated from A Different World, from Hillman, and now I'm on Georgia A&M. Campus,
yeah,
with The Quad, and I'm the teacher. I think this storyline of the historical black college is very important. It's important to black kids, but it's also important to all kids that want to go to school and are trying to pick a school and decide whether they want to go or not. But higher learning is something that we should all strive for. It's not just for rich kids, and it's not just for white kids. Whatever your passion is in your young life, it's pretty much your passion, I think. I have a kid that's 17. She's going into college next year. And I'm like, you have to decide what you want to do. Because without the passion, you can't fulfill that dream. You can't become a doctor if you don't really want to heal people and help people. You can't become a writer if you don't want to tell stories. And that burning desire in the beginning of your life is what carries you through. So I love that I'm on another show that inspires this very delicate and passionate age of our existence, which is like from 18 to 21, where we become adults, where we turn from girl to woman, boys to men, find our own sense of morality, ethics, working ethic, and say, I can dedicate my life to this because I believe in this, whatever that may be.
Exactly. I agree with you 100%, especially in today's era with Washington being what it is now, and never a better time to really want to get the term lawyer up. I call it getting educated up. For the future. So I agree with you 100% on that. Okay, my last question.
Washington will always change, and Hollywood will always change. But where do you stand? That's the question. Where do you stand as an individual? how much bending and compromising will you do, and what will you really stand for in your life?
Yes, that you're absolutely right, because those two entities, they do change. CEOs and studios come and go, presidents come and go, but we will remain the same as long as we're here on Earth. And so I'd like to answer this last question here. One of your fans wanted me to ask you, and I saw this from Essence on their mailing list here, was talking about the your meme about being the bad bougie character, one of the ultimate bad bougie characters, that I thought was so cute. What was your reaction when you first heard about that?
I first heard about Bad and Bougie when I was on an interview, and I happened to be with my kid, and she looked at me and she said, "Do you know what that means? Do you know what a meme is?" And I said, "Yes," but I really didn't. She knew I didn't know the song, and I didn't understand where it was coming from. But I have to say that, you know, if anything, what you got from the Whitley Gilbert character is someone that is empowered, that's finding her way, but still loves her people, and still loves her friends and her relationships, and is loyal. If you get that from that character, I'm very happy. Because I didn't know that that would come from that. I knew she was funny. I knew that Whitley was a fish out of water. But if she's lasted this long after 30 years, I'm only grateful in that you see the humanity in her character, and not just the gloss.
When your daughter became old enough to understand about TV and characters and such, what did she think of Whitley back then?
I don't know. I didn't show her a different world until she was like, 10 or something. So you'd have to ask her that, really, what she thinks about it and what she feels about it.
Well, I know Whitley and her cast of characters are still entertaining and bringing back great memories from that era. And now, here you are, still relevant and still doing great work and showing your diversity and your talents as well. And that's always good. So we will look forward to seeing you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And I do a lot of stuff, and I always have. And the thing about being an actor is there's a kind of hustler element to what we do. And we celebrate everyone's successes, but you really have to get through the unsuccessful times in your life. And I think that goes for everybody.
It does. It absolutely does. And I look forward to seeing you on stage. And with the last time I saw you, you were actually directing a project over in Atlanta. But I've never seen you actually performing live on stage. So this will be a real treat for me as well. So.
Oh, thank you. What do you remember the play? Was it Color Girls?
I think it was Color Girls. If I'm not mistaken, yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, girls, yeah. And, that was another great moment, Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So we look forward to seeing you on stage and on the quad. So anything else that you're doing, because you're a lady of many talents. You never know what you're going to be doing.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. Well, take care.
See you in Nashville.
Have a great show. See you in Nashville.
Hey, where
okay,
should I eat when I get there?
Oh, my gosh. You should go to a place called Monell's. And it
is... I'm writing it down.
Uh-huh. It's right near Monell's. It's in the Germantown. One of the best locations near the theater is Monell's in Germantown. And I have had people from, oh, my goodness, from Michael McDonald to Gary's record.
I love Michael McDonald. Oh,
yes.
Okay,
yes.
So I'm going to Monell's at some point when I'm in Nashville. I appreciate the recommendation.
Okay, tell him I said
that's the main thing. It's like, where are we going to eat?
Yes. Well, you will love it. It's in a beautiful Victorian style house building. And everybody's
awesome.
Oh, you're gonna love it. You're gonna love it. And the food is down home, get down funky for real. Oh girl, and you sit at this big dinner table with other people so that you can put the old fashioned touch back into dining again.
I'm so happy. Thank you. So I'm going to schedule that into my in between rehearsals and the show. We're going to Monell's. Thank you.
You're only about 7 to 8 minutes from it at TPAC Theater.
Oh, okay.
You're right at it. Yeah. Hey, I know you know her. You know Carolyn McDonald, the filmmaker?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, Carolyn and I are really, really longtime good friends, and I'm going to tell her I talked to you today.
Please do. I texted her and told her I was coming to Nashville.
Okay.
So I'm, you know, we just need to hook up. I haven't gotten my itinerary yet. That's part of the problem, but you know, I definitely want to see her. I love Carolyn.
I will tell her. I do too. She's such good people. Well, thank you again,
brilliant.
And
all right.
Let your publicist know. Let me know about what you think of Monell's when you get a chance.
Okay, I will.
Okay,
thank you so much. Okay.
Okay.
You
take care now. Bye bye.
All right.
Okay.
Bye bye.
What a very, very delightful lady she is, Jasmine Guy. Just so full of life and talent and just a burst of energy there. But again, you can go out to see her. For those of you who live in the Nashville area, she will be for one night only at the Tennessee Performing Arts Center, starring in Raising Cain, A Harlem Renaissance Odyssey. It will be Jasmine Guy along with the Avery Sharp Trio. And if you don't live in the area, if you can't catch her live show, you can always catch her again on The Quad, the new drama series on the Black Entertainment Television Network. So we will be back with more of Film Festival Radio right after this. Yes, yes, we may have stars in our eyes, some of us. And you know what? We're going to try to help you do something about it. Yes, we are. We really are. Because this is our segment about auditions and tryouts for different TV shows and films and such. So don't worry about it. If you've got stars in your eyes, so be it. We're going to try to help you. Because that's what we do on this particular segment. So I want you to pay close attention. You need to take your coffee or your soda. Maybe you're drinking a beer. That would be nice, too, if you're doing that. But anyway, just take a listen. There might be something said about an audition that may be of interest to you or a neighbor, family member, spouse, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever. So let's get rolling right now. Okay, nationwide. There is a nationwide search for a new television show that's being done, and it's called, they don't have a working title yet. I'm wrong here. Let me give you the particulars about it. There's a production company and a network, and they're searching all over the country for deserving people with inspirational stories. and they want to feature these stories in a new reality show. Now, if you are selected, there's a chance that you could receive cash and prizes of up to $5,000 or more. So if you know someone who has faced a monumental adversity or a tragedy or something, and maybe they've made big sacrifices for others or their family or friends or whomever, and if you would like to see them, or maybe it's about yourself, if you faced adversity and overcame it, or you know of someone who has, you want to be treated like royalty for a day and a night. This might be the show for you. They want you to send email, your name, your first and last name, your contact telephone number, and the name of the person that you are nominating, whether it's yourself or someone else, first and last name of the person being considered, that you want considered. And then give a brief description of what makes the nominee so deserving of an opportunity like this. Also, send a recent photo or a video of the nominee person, and that can be in JPEG format or QuickTime format. Or if you have something like a video online, you can submit it in that format as well. So once again, your first and last name, contact phone number, name of the person that you are nominating, their first and last name, and a brief description of why you think this person should be nominated for the possibility to be on this national new reality show. Now you need to send all of that to this email address, tvpilot, P-I-L-O-T, submissions with an S at gmail.com. And that's pilot, submissions with an S at gmail.com. And hopefully you or the person you're nominating will be selected. Okay, now here is the second audition. This is a really good one. Another company, they're searching nationwide for extremely overweight females. Now you must weigh 450 pounds or more in order to be considered for this new weight loss television show for a major cable television network. So if you are or know someone that's 450 pounds or more, and if you feel like you're trapped in your body, and if you're just morbidly obese and you've tried and tried and tried to, you know, make a living or live your life as an obese person and it's affecting your health, maybe you've even considered surgery in the past, but you could not afford it. If any of this applies to you or somebody that you know, this new TV show can help you if you are selected. It's an all-new weight loss show, and the people who are selected will have an opportunity to not only change their weight loss in their body through surgery, that's going to be worth who knows how much money, because it's going to reform and just revitalize your whole look and your whole outlook on life. Plus, if you are selected, you will be paid for your participation, as well as getting a lot of publicity and getting healthy. That's the main thing. So if you or someone you know is in need of weight loss, please contact these producers. And you must weigh 450 pounds or more. And it is, as of right now, they're looking for females. Now, they may have a follow-up show for males later, but right now this is what they're looking for. So this is what you need to do. You need to, once again, send your first and last name, a contact telephone number, the city and state where you live, your current weight, how much do you currently weigh, and a brief bio about you and why you'd like to lose this weight. Is it causing your health to go bad, or causing you problems with walking, or just why is it that you would like to lose this weight? Plus, they would like a recent picture of yourself. So again, your first and last name, a contact phone number, city and state where you live, your current weight, how much do you weigh right this minute, and a brief bio about yourself and why you would like to lose this weight, and a recent picture of yourself. Now send all of that to this email address, wecanhelpcasting@gmail.com. And again, that's wecanhelpcasting@gmail.com. I really love it that these audition notices have really to the point easy email addresses, because sometimes we get email addresses that are like, you know, a mile long, but these are really good and simple. And finally, last audition here, Promposal. Yes, yes, the huge new phenomenon of teenagers asking a potential date to the prom is now a viral sensation, big deal. So, who but can be the experts at anything about teenagers today but MTV? They are the masters when it comes to knowing how teenagers think and live. Let MTV help you. There's a new television series, and they are featuring the most creative, most romantic, most over-the-top, outrageous promposals ever imagined. So if you have a master promposal plan, let MTV help you get it viral and get the word out. You know, let them show that you've got swag. So the leading reality show casting agency, Daron Ophir Casting, they're searching all over the nation for high schoolers who are attending this upcoming prom season 2017, but you maybe have not quite asked your date out to go to the prom, and you have this epic promposal. Let MTV help you. Let them help you because they know what they're doing. They will help you go viral, and they will show the world that you are the person, the man, the girl, the master promposal person. So what you need to do is go to this website, prom, P-R-O-M, posal, P-O-S-A-L, casting.com. That's promposalcasting.com. You will find all of the information on how to apply, when to apply, what to send, what not to send. I must give you this footnote, though. You must be at least 15 years old to apply, and you must be legally eligible to work in the U.S. That's pretty much it. So go to promposalcasting.com. Let MTV help you out with this ginormous promposal that you're planning to ask your date to the prom. You know, I didn't know proms had gotten that serious. I'm so, so behind on the times here. I mean, what has it been, like 2 years since I went to the prom? Mm-hmm. Something like that. But anyway, I just need to stop it. But yeah, promposal, new TV show, and who knows, you might get selected to show the world that you have the coolest, swaggiest promposal in the high school of all the world, or something like that. Anyway, let MTV help you, because I don't know anything about it. I'm just telling you the audition. Okay, so we got everything. We got all of our auditions in. Anytime, I always tell you this, because I get a lot of email about this. Anytime you cannot write down all of the information, we're here, filmfestivalradio@gmail.com. And we will be more than happy to email you whatever information that you missed out on during my reading of the auditions. Okay, so that's going to do it for this edition of Film Festival Radio Show. As always, I always like hanging out with you. I love it when you hang out with me in return. So we kind of like hang together there. Keeps it fun that way. And we'll see you on the next edition of the show. So make it a great day, an even better week, and hopefully a happy and safe weekend as well. And we'll see you on the next edition of the show. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Film Festival Radio with your host, Janice Malone. Be sure to download this and other episodes at filmfestivalradio.com.